Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is the South Lot Football Guys podcast. We are back after a bit of a delay, but it is the week 11 episode. I'm here with my usual partners, Robbie Larson and Adam Sidek. Guys, how we doing?
Doing pretty good. It's been weird being gone for so long, but, you know, some personal stuff, some sickness going around. You know, we had to miss a couple of weeks here and there.
Trip out to L.A. for Bears beating.
Yeah, yeah. We had to witness the Bears-Chargers game in person. But yeah, glad to be back. I know my wallet needs it, because I definitely don't do as well when we don't talk it out. So I'm excited to make back a lot of the money that I've lost in the last month.
It's funny, on the board last week, we all did pretty well.
Yeah, one lock gone bad turned into a busted day.
Yeah.
Busted.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of funny. It seems like we have good weeks when we don't record that week and come back and be like, oh, yeah, we did so well. And it's like, who's you guys going to believe us? Well, we did. We swear.
To reference what you're talking about here, Robbie. So you were 10-4, and I was 11-3. Adam, 500 on the week. But we'll get into it here a little bit with the locks. We're excited to be back, though. Like we said, it's been a little bit, so sorry to leave you guys hanging, but let's jump right back in. Let's do a quick review of last week's lock. Adam, you had the Lions -2.5. Gotta love that hook.
Yeah, I think I misput that in as -3, but the Lions we had were -2.5, so it was a push in some books, but I'll take it.
Robbie, you had the Ravens -1.5 -1.5.
Yeah, that one was never in doubt right from the start. Yeah. It's like 14-0 with a minute in.
Then I had Bengals Texans -48.
So I missed.
Yeah, CJ Stroud, that was a bad beat. That game picked up like an extra like 17 points when it could have been like over if he gets that first down. Like they were gonna run out the clock. That was bad beat for me. But we trudge on and onward and upward. We are still alive in our eliminator.
Yeah,
I think
news.
We gotta cover this. So I think I can pull it up here real quick. I'll just cover the teams we've utilized. Yeah. Give me some stall music. Okay. So week one, we had the team. Week two, we had the 49ers. Week three, the Chiefs. Week four, the Eagles. Week five, the Lions. Week six, the Bills. Week seven, the Seahawks. Week eight, the Ravens. Week nine, the Browns. And week 10, the Cowboys. All winners. So we're getting into the nitty gritty here. We got to keep it rolling. So we'll just tease that we've got a eliminator to give you here later on in the episode, but we're sweating this out.
Yeah. Save this guy for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, this is about
you might know. Yeah, I think we talked about this already.
I think we already did talk about this week what we're gonna do. Yeah, it's about the best team we have left.
Yeah. We've been planning this one out for a while, so we'll get to that in a sec, but. Let's see. It's been so long. Am I missing anything, or what did I not cover? Oh, the asshole of the week. I definitely didn't cover that.
Yeah, this one is pretty obvious. Asshole of the week for last week. You know, we were all watching Sunday night game. Within 3 seconds of the broadcast starting, we all just immediately asked each other the question, did Bro Salah dye his beard black? Because it just looked awful. It looked weird. You know, you want your head coach to exude confidence. If you have a coach that did not have a beard that was clearly going gray, that just dyes it jet black, there's issues in the locker room. And you know what? They lost the game. They had a players-only meeting directly afterwards, led by Garrett Wilson. I'm off the Jets bandwagon. I was on it for a little bit. No, that's a huge red flag across the board for me on that.
Just for men, jet black.
What a move. What a move.
Oh man.
Yeah, we
get Salah's PR team on there.
Yeah, that was
jet black.
That was not the move at all. yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like, I don't know, respect, I guess.
You know what? If that was the old Al Michaels Sunday night, he would have mentioned something.
He would have called that out.
Made a comment. Yeah. You know, Mike Tirico doesn't have the guts.
No, no. Yeah, we haven't. Well, we have been doing the podcast parlay. Hold on.
Not last week.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we took
didn't.
A break on the podcast parlay. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's right. All right. So, yeah, with that, unless anything else you guys want to cover, we can just get into the week 11 lines.
Let's take a look at the.
What you got?
We are still up a unit and a half on the year.
Still up. Okay.
We have not done well.
Since we've left.
Yeah, what was the last 2 weeks? I mean, it was ugly.
Yeah.
Was it like one hit like out of six?
Yeah, something like that.
It was not good.
We had a total loss one of those weeks for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're not all doing good without telling you guys, so.
Yeah, there's definitely some L's.
Ups and downs.
There's L's to be had here. it's not all great. All right. Well, with that, let's get into it. And it's a great game to start. Thursday night football. Finally, they give something for Al to talk about here. We've got the Bengals heading into Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Ravens are 4-point favorites at home. Over under 46 points in this game. I'll just set the stage here for you. Both these teams coming off bad losses. Bengals defense couldn't stop the Texans at all in that game and wound up giving 30-plus points up in a shootout on their home turf. Very tough look for the defense there. Ravens, terrible blown lead loss to division rival Browns. I'm still not sure how they lost that game. You know, we're going to see who responds here. Ravens -4, though, is the line. I don't have a great feel for this one. Robbie, I see you've got a confident pick out there. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I've got a couple confident picks. You know, first, just gonna go right off the bat, you know, first quarter. We'll say my first quarter picks have been very good this year.
Lights out.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the quarter. Third
quarters haven't been so much, so I'm cooling off on those right now. I haven't even really looked at those, but first quarter wise, I've been loving the Ravens over the last couple of weeks. You know, they're one of the best teams coming hot off the gate, both offensively and defensively. They just seem to come out with a good game plan, so I love them -0.5 to start this game off. I actually also like the Ravens -4. I just think they're in a better spot right now. I didn't know there's a couple key injuries on both sides of the ball. You got no Sam Hubbard, no T. Higgins. Trey Hendrickson, I just saw a report that he's expected to play, which I was shocked.
I
thought there was no way he was going to play.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of more why I was had Ravens -4, but I'm going to stick with it. I know on the Ravens side, they've got no Ronnie Staley, which kind of hurts that O-line, and no Marlon Humphrey. Those guys not going to play either. So you got both sides a little banged up, but I just like the Ravens at home. They've just been so good and solid that and the way they've been running the ball is just they can't be stopped. They've got quite a few guys who could take the ball and do different things with it, and they've been great, so I'm going to stick with that. I just think the Bengals are a little bit more beat up and are going to struggle in Baltimore.
So I got a crazy stat on this game that I just couldn't believe I got to share. Over the last 40 years, there have been only two teams. There's been like five teams that have only trailed by less than 40 minutes through the first 10 games. Ravens are number 3 with only 25 minutes trailed this season.
Wow.
Where they are behind. They are 7-3. The other four teams on that list were all 10-0. So
wow.
Statistically, you can make a case that the Ravens are the best 7-3 team of all time.
And wow.
It's like a fairly good case for that. Their three losses, the Colts, the Steelers, and the Browns were all just brutal collapses. on their end.
What were the Bears in 06? Like, they start off like 7-0 or 8-0. They probably trailed in that Cardinals Monday night game for more time than the Ravens have trailed this whole year.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yep. I heard that stat, and, you know, it definitely makes me feel a little bit better about the Ravens than just kind of looking at their record. I think it goes along with Robbie's quarter picks. They've just jumped out on huge leads on everybody.
I just can't believe they're only minus a half. To me, that's a steal, but I've got an even more steal later, so that one's not my lock.
Yeah. Pretty much everything Robbie said, I'm going to take the Ravens here. I like the money line. I feel really confident about that. I just, you know, these matchups are close, so I can see, you know, this one being really close to the line, so I'm not going to make it a confident play. I kind of like the under here. Short week two, you know, this is a black and blue division. I can see this one being a little bit underscoring than what the line indicates.
Yeah, for me, this one's a little tough. I'm definitely, God, as much as I'd like to place something on this. Yeah, Adam, I almost think you're right. The under's probably the play. Tough losses for both teams on a short week. The way I think about it is, like, what went wrong last week and what's the easiest thing to correct? The Ravens side of the ball, on the Ravens side, like, they gave up some fluky plays to the Browns that kept them in that game. You know, bad turnovers. Lamar didn't play his best. I think some of that's a lot more easily correctable than that Bengals defense than was just, like, Swiss cheese out there. They had no answer for the Texans' offensive attack with a rookie quarterback. In my intuition, that seems like the way harder thing to get right in 4 days. And that said, here I am, and I'm leaning Bengals +4 just because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, both these teams are pretty close in stature. Bengals had been playing well up until last week. The injury side of the ball definitely tends to favor the Ravens here too. I don't know. Something about this, though, just tells me that's a pretty big number for two teams that are pretty solid, you know, higher quality, upper tier in the league. I think we've got a close game for Thursday night. I think the Ravens pull it out, but the +4 just seems just enough for me to want in. I think if this drops to 3, I'm all in on the Ravens. But that extra point gives me some pause, so I'll lean the Bengals. Definitely going to stay off, but to be honest with you, I'm gonna jump on the under with you here, Adam. I think that's a smart play. Throw my hat in the ring for that one. All right, guys. Next up, we've got the Cardinals and the Texans. Texans are at home for this one, and they are 5-point favorites at home. Over/under in this one, 47.5. This one's interesting. Cardinals coming off a big last-minute field goal win against the Falcons with Kyler Murray under center. So starting to see what that team can put together. They've been playing decently well with Dobbs under center too. So, I mean, that team has shown a lot of fight this year. But really the surprise of the year has been this Texans team. And you know, just the play of C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell and some of the supporting pieces out there. You got Devin Singletary last week looking like Walter Payton.
Noah Brown going on.
Yeah, Noah Brown.
Back 150 yards.
Although I liked him with the Cowboys.
Yeah, he's always been.
I'll kick it off on this one just because I've got a confident play. I really like the Cardinals here. And like, just kind of what I've been going back to, you know, this Cardinals team has shown a lot of fight all year. They've played with tough teams all season. And I think the Texans, everybody's throwing roses on them right now. You know, they got up for a huge game last week, pulled off a huge road upset as a big dog. This seems like a sleepy spot for me against a seemingly bad Cardinals team on paper, but you got this Cardinals team starting to gain life. Kyler back under center. Like I said, they've been competitive all year. I think 5 points is way too much for a young, inexperienced team and a first-year head coach. Granted, the Cardinals got the same thing on their sideline as well, but I just think the 5 points is a bit too much here. Too much love for the Texans. Give me the Cardinals plus the five. Confident play for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd even sprinkle a little bit on it money line. You know, Kyler came back last week. I think I saw that he hit over 20 miles an hour on a scramble. That's his highest since 2020. So clearly he's at least fully healed from the ACL, and it's not inhibiting him. Maybe the rest has even gotten him a little bit back to his original athleticism. But, you know, the Texans, you mentioned it, they're really getting the national PR tour right now. But, you know, 3 weeks ago they lost to the Panthers. And, you know, looking at their wins and losses this year, they seem to play up to their competition. But they're liable to for a slip. And I think this Cardinals team is as healthy as it's been all year. James Conner back was huge for them. Getting Trey McBride involved in the passing offense. You got, you know, your wide receiving core fully healthy. And you know, this team, although the record is really bad, you know, even in their losses, has been playing close all year. So, yeah, I don't understand how this line is all the way to five. I love the Cardinals here. Confident play for me.
Yeah, I kind of was on Texans to start. Was kind of thinking, you know, this is a little easier spot than what they have been playing. But, you know, guys made some good points. You know, Cardinals are getting healthier. Definitely James Conner coming back is big. Big boost for them, and along with Murray himself. I mean, he seemed like he's the old Kyler Murray, looking for that next payday. He doesn't want to be out of the league yet, so maybe he's going to be holding off Call of Duty weekend. So I don't know, but think a little more. You know, Texans have been in a lot of close games, and you got to imagine at some point that just wears you down. Just grinding, it seems like they've been grinding it out every weekend for the last month or so. So I'm with you guys. I'm not as confident on this game yet as you guys are, but I might be eventually. But yeah, I'll side with the Cardinals on this. I think this is a sneaky spot for them.
I'm not sure Kyler looks like amazing, but just I don't know how, maybe it's just how many bad quarterbacks are playing these days. He did look like, you know, just a step above most of the quarterbacks.
I didn't watch all that game, but, you know, the bits and pieces I did see, he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot better than what I was expecting for his first game back.
Yeah.
I think you hit it on the head. The rushing piece of that, though, his willingness to get out of the pocket, move around, I think that says a lot about his own confidence in the repaired knee. I think he's good to go. I think it's a good play. All right. Let's turn to something a lot less fun. NFC East duel here. The Washington football team are hosting the New York Giants. The team are 9-point favorites at home here. Over under for this one at 37. It's been the Tommy DeVito show for 3 weeks now. And the Giants don't have a lot to show for it. Meanwhile, the Washington football team, they're slowly or just kind of under the radar, hanging around that last playoff spot, squatching around there with the likes of the Vikings. So they've still got a lot to play for in this one, but definitely an ugly game. I will not. I don't think I'll watch this, and I don't think I'll bet it. But Adam, I'll turn to you. What do you got for us here?
I love the Giants here. It's, you know, historically, the last 3 years, pretty much the whole Ron Rivera era, the Giants have really had the team number. I think last year they tied, but they were 1-0-1 against them. But I think over the last 3 years, they have 5 wins with 1 tie. I just think that the team is not good enough to warrant being a 9-point favorite against anybody, especially interdivision. I think the Giants' defense is way better than what they've shown the last couple of weeks. You know, that they've been demoralized, and they've also played some extremely good opponents. And the last time we saw them play a mediocre offense was against the Jets, and they kept that game really close. So I just think that they're going to keep this within a touchdown. It's going to be an ugly game, but I cannot take the team being, you know, over touchdown favorites in this game.
Yeah, I'm this one just divisional game. This does seem like a lot of points, so I'm going to side with the Giants. I'm not gonna bet on them though. It just does scream backdoor cover. You know, Giants had a little success at the end of that last game going against the Cowboys' second and third stringers. So that's a little something, and get a little confidence in the New York side of the ball. I do like team starting off first quarter -2.5. Giants just haven't gotten anything going at all in the first quarter all year. Danny DeVito doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence. So that's the only real play I got going, and then hopefully I can forget about this game because I don't want to watch this game at all.
Yeah, I got nothing on this.
I don't think you need to have anything.
Yeah, same thing with, as you said, Robbie. It feels like a big number for a Washington team that's, you know, on any given week, they can put up 30 against the Eagles, or they can struggle to score against the Seahawks.
Blown out by the Bears.
Very inconsistent team. I don't know. You never know what you're getting. They're kind of like the Titans. You don't know what team you're going to get on any given week. So I would feel very gross. I would feel very gross having the team -9. I'd feel slightly less gross having the Giants +9.
That's a good way to put it. Yep.
So, give me the Giants in this one, but I'll be staying away. Adam, I'd love to see you sweat that out, though. That'd be fun.
I will have money on the Giants this week. Not money line, but +9.
That's a true Illini alum right there supporting your guy. All right, next up we've got the Cowboys are heading into Charlotte to take on the Panthers. Panthers are 10.5-point home dogs here, over under 42.5 in this game. I like the Cowboys here. I'll just kick us off. I think that they're able to cover this number even on the road. Some people have been, you know, shining some praise on the Panthers defense. I'm not really sold on it. I think it has to deal more with the quality of opponent that they've played. When you hear some of this praise about the Panthers defense at home, I think the Cowboys are a class above, and I'm not worried about the 10.5 number. I think they should be able to win this game by 2 scores. Really didn't see much that I liked out of Bryce Young in that Bears game. Admittedly, that was one of the first times I'd really had a chance to watch every snap of him in a game. And, boy, there were just maybe 7 or 8 throws where it was like, that should have been hit. That guy's open, you know, 10 yards along the sidelines. It's like, just make the throw. And he couldn't do it. So I've definitely got some questions there. You know, there's a lot of time for him left to develop, and you know, they threw him to the wolves with that offensive line that they gave him. But for me, I couldn't justify the Panthers with the points here at home. So give me the Cowboys. I think they'll take care of business.
I guess something worthy of noting is Frank Reich says he's going to be calling plays again. So we'll see how that pans out. I mean,
cool.
happened like 30 times with the Colts.
Yeah. Oh, I totally remembered quite a few times. He's like, nah, this sucks. I'm going to take it over again. And then, I don't know. It just never seemed like it ended out too well. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to side with the Cowboys with the points. It seems like a lot of points. Panthers defense has been doing pretty well, if you ask me. And, you know, this might come as a surprise, but because how hot the Cowboys have been in the first quarter, but the Panthers at home, especially defensively, have been really stout. And I like to take the risk on the Panthers money line first quarter. You know, Worst case, if you push, I'd be okay with it. The line was 2.5. I don't want to take 2.5 for the Panthers.
Do you have a number to quote us on with that? What's the big?
It was like +190, if I remember correctly.
That's money line?
Yeah, for the money line. Okay. So I felt like it was worthwhile stab. It might be a little low scoring game. I'm kind of leaning under on this one, to be honest. I think Panthers defense is going to give Cowboys a little more trouble than what you'd think. And, I can't – Bryce Young, he hasn't gotten a whole lot going in my eyes. So, I'm probably really, besides that first quarter money line, staying away from this game. Not excited for Bryce Young.
I would have thought under too, but my God, the Cowboys were ruthless against the Giants last week.
Oh, they were. Like,
oh, let's keep going.
CD Lamb deep. We're up 35.
Let's just keep going. Yeah. Dak needs more. Yeah.
It just seemed more personal against the Giants. Like, screw you guys.
Yeah, I mean, even at that Bears game, that score was close, but they had a punt return touchdown. That was pretty fluky.
Yeah.
Bryce Young, he looks awful, I'll say. I mean, him at Alabama, he was – the one thing about him, he was extremely decisive. He was making quick reads. He has done the exact opposite at the NFL level. He is hesitating, not making the correct decisions, and even when he is making them, he's not making them on time. And,
late on a lot of throws, yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there. Especially against this pass rush – sounded like Chris Collinsworth not being able to say pass rush. they're going to eat him alive. Give me the Cowboys here. Don't have much else to say.
All right, we're all on the Cowboys. But nobody confident, so that should tell you something too. Next up, we've got the Bears taking on the Lions. Lions are 9-point favorites at home here, over under 47.5. Robbie, you want to start us off here?
Yeah, this is Justin Fields should be ready to go for this game. It sounds like a lot of what's issue with him was gripping the football, which, I mean, obviously that is pretty key for being in that position right there. Lions, they've been very good under Dan Campbell last year. There's nothing you could say really wrong about what they've been doing. This team's been looking really good. Leaders of the NFC North for a good reason. To me, I kind of like Bears coming in with a backdoor cover here. I think Fields second half could do what he needs to do. I think the Lions are going to start off hot like they usually do. Line -3.5 first quarter. I like them there. But besides that, I do think the Bears are going to be able to claw back and get back into this. I'm not going to bet the Bears on this, though. This may be a situation where I live bet them, but that's going to be mostly a feeler of how this game starts off.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears as well here. I know we're the most homer crowd, but really I think this is – more of a testament to what I've seen on the defensive side of the ball for the Bears. They have shown some improvement since they've gotten a fully healthy secondary back, and they are starting to get more push up front since adding Sweat to that defensive line. You're starting to see some of the rookies play a little bit better as well in conjunction with that. I think it's ugly. I think, like you said, Robbie, it's going to take a backdoor cover. I make it something like 24-16. But that's why I think the better play here is the under 47.5. I definitely see a scenario where the Detroit Lions defense, kind of a get-right game for them after having a couple suspect outings. I think that we could see a bit more of a defensive battle here. So I think 47.5 is a little bit too high. So I'll put a confident play on the under here.
Yeah, I don't think I'll bet this game at all. I think 9 is probably a good number. So I'll lean the Bears side. I just like the fact that this is the healthiest they've been all year, both on the defensive side and the offensive side of the ball. The over-under line, it's hard because you look at their matchups last year. The first matchup in Chicago, I think, went for over 70, a complete shootout. And then the second matchup, Fields got a little banged up in the first half of that game, and the under was, you know, I think it was 30 points. So kind of a mixed bag. But, yeah, I don't have a strong play either way on this game. I think the Lions win outright, but could definitely see a backdoor cover situation.
All right, next game up, we've got the Raiders heading into Miami to take on the Dolphins. Dolphins are 12-point favorites at home in this one. Over-under set at 46.5. I like the Dolphins here, guys, coming off the bye. I think it's a good spot for them. I think they're definitely going to want to prove some people wrong. They've been taking a lot of heat nationally about being the good, bad team. And how they only beat bad teams and they don't show up against any of the top tier talent. I think this is a chance for them to do what they've done all year, and that's beat up on a very average to below average team. You know, you got a Raiders team that's been riding high as of late, you know, since firing McDaniels. You know, Antonio Pierce has done a good job, but, you know, here we go. This is the first test on the road. They've been getting nothing but praises for the last 2 weeks. I think they get humbled here. I see something on the lines of 38-17 or 34-17. They think they should be able to cover the 12 points. So give me the Dolphins here. I'm going to lock it up. Too much to handle for the Raiders.
But it's a lock!
No!
Oh, yeah, I'm all with you here. I'd bet this line up to, like, 17. I think this is going to be a straight blowout. You know, Aiden O'Connell has looked serviceable, but he's gone, you know. I just – the Raiders have essentially three weapons on offense. You have Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs, and then Jacoby Myers is – you know, he's a weapon, but he's not on the level of the other two. I just think this Dolphins defense with Vic Fangio can scheme out those two of those three options, and I don't see Aiden O'Connell being able to take advantage of the remaining pieces enough to keep this game close. Coming off the bye, long cross-country game, yeah, the Raiders going to get smoked here. I feel extremely confident about that.
I'm pretty close to getting the Dolphins on the spread. You know, this Raiders defense, they've been a lot better than what they have been in the past, led by Max Crosby back there. You know, they've been doing pretty well at holding opposing offenses to even give their team a chance, who before the quarterback change, like, struggled to even score, like, 14 points in a game. It was just terrible. I do like the Dolphins there. I'm close. I think that what the Raiders have been doing, and actually lately giving the ball to Josh Jacobs and having him run it out, is kind of helping them, and it'll open up the passing game a little more. This Dolphins defense, they could be run on. They're starting to get a little bit of their secondary healthy again, so you know, maybe that they'll open up a little play action pass for them as well. So I think that they'll have a be staying in there. 12 is a lot of points. I do like the over in this one. I think that both teams are gonna. This is gonna be a shootout. Both teams are gonna be able to score. I also kind of like Raiders first quarter +3.5. Defense again. They've been starting off well in the first quarter, while the Dolphins D's kind of struggled. So they're kind of, I think it's going to start off a lot closer than you think, but then Dolphins going to pull away. So, you know, I'm leaning Dolphins -12. I love the over here, but, you know, you could maybe guys talk me into going with the Dolphins a little bit later.
All right. Well, we'll revisit this game, I'm sure, in another topic. All right, next up in our second AFC North battle of the day, we've got the Steelers heading into Cleveland to take on the Browns. Browns are 1.5-point favorites at home here. Over under set at 33.5. Robbie kicks off.
Ooh, so big one, big news that dropped today was Deshaun Watson. He's got a fracture in his shoulder, and that's going to be it for his season here. He's going to have to take have surgery to get that fixed. I'm just trying to scroll through because the big thing about this one is this might be one of those classic Cleveland weather games. It seems like they always have at least one or two of these each year. I don't know if you guys really notice it, but yeah. Cleveland just always gets some real bad weather.
It's like wind, like heavy wind off the lake, and it's just swirling.
Yep. So it looks like we got some, well, not super heavy wind, but chance of showers. So this might be a bad game. To a very grind them out kind of game. Over under at 33.5. You know what? It's a low number, but I like that under, to be honest. You know, DTR getting the start. I think Browns are going to have to rely on the ground game, which they've been successful with. And if you're looking at the trenches, to me, I like the Browns over the Steelers all day. So I'm going to lean the Browns, but I love this under. You know, I remember seeing a couple weeks back that in the last 4 years, over-unders that were at 37 points or below were hitting at something like a 73% rate, which is kind of unbelievable. So I'm going to follow that trend, and especially with this weather and these two teams, which are low scoring as it is, more defensive minded. I love that. I'm going to hit this under here. So this might not be as fun of a game to watch. It's going to definitely be a little grind them out for an under, but I'm going to go with it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Not fun to watch. I love football games like this. I love just slop fest defensive battle. That is,
well, it depends on who you're asking. Some people love
Bears,
the shootouts.
We grew up Bears
fans.
Yes.
We understand the beauty in a 13-10 game.
Oh yeah, we love that. I actually like the Browns here. I am so close to making a confident pick. I really am. My big thing here is Steelers without two inside linebackers. Cole Holcomb lost earlier in the year. Now Quan Alexander on IR as well. Don't underestimate those losses for this defense. Minka is questionable to play. I think that's still very much up in the air. Just need to
say, I think I saw Deontay wasn't practicing.
Yep. There's on the offensive side of the ball, yeah.
Well, yeah. Offensive side. Sorry.
For some reason, I was thinking DeMonte Casey. I was like, what? And he's like, I think he's healthy. but anyway, yeah, the Steelers, not the healthiest on the defensive side of the ball right now. Kenny Pickett has thrown as many touchdown passes as the Steelers have wins this year. So not a prolific offense to pick up a hurt defense. I just kind of think this is an interesting spot for the Browns here. I think their defense can carry the day. I think this is going to be low scoring. I think you might be onto something with this under. And I think this is going to be about limiting turnovers. And if DTR can take care of the ball, I think the Browns have a great chance to win this game. I think they're going to have the better defense on the day. And I think home field helps them out here. So give me the Browns -1.5. Feeling pretty good about it. May change my mind and make that a confident pick here, but I can't see the Steelers coming out of the with this one. I think they've scraped by all year. I don't think this is their day.
Yeah, another crazy NFC or AFC North stat. Steelers, they're 6-3. They have outscored, or they have been they've given up more yards to their opponent than they've had in every 9 of their games.
Oh, my God.
Every game?
Every single game they have given up more yards to their opponent, and they are 6-3. You know, I at some point, those kind of stats just become a stat, and you realize how good of a coach Mike Tomlin is. So that's really the only reason why I'm not on the Browns as a confident pick. I think they're going to win. But just the way that this Steelers team, they more so than any team in the NFL, they know who they are. They're not trying to be somebody else that they're not. And that works for them, and it keeps them into these games where they probably have less talent than the team that they're facing. But you know, they're cohesive. They're all going in the same direction. And yeah, with these interdivision matchups, AFC North, it's hard for me to take a confidence pick on any of these plays, because it's just, you know, they're usually so tight and up in the air. And I mean, we saw it last week with the Browns and Bengals. That was a completely crazy Ravens Browns completely crazy game, where just huge lead from the Ravens, and then it just flipped and the Browns ended up winning.
Yep. Yeah, this is a game I am going to have a TV on set designated for this game, because this is exactly the kind of football I love, and it's a huge game.
Love the slop fest.
Love the slop. Give me the slop. All right, next up, guys, we've got the Titans taking on the Jaguars. Jags are 7-point favorites at home here. Over-under in this one set to 40. I'm going to take the Jags here with the 7 points. But my play for this game is over 40. Saw Will Levis struggle a bit last week. You know, finally threw that first pick. I do think that he has shown some good things, though, on film, and I was a Will Levis critic. You know, he's getting the ball out on time, keeping his eyes downfield. I think there's things to like based on what I've seen. I think the Titans can put up enough points, but I think this is kind of a get-right game for this Jags offense. And we've seen it before. This Titans team is Jekyll and Hyde, especially on defense. They can hold a team to 10, or they can give up 30, and you don't know what you're going to get. I'm going to lean here on the road that they're going to give up some points, and I'm thinking you know, they might turn to Levis early to try to keep him in this game and start slinging it downfield. So I just thought 40 was a little bit of a low number, so lean Jags with 7 points, but I'm feeling confident on the over 40.
Yeah, I could see where you're feeling pretty good about that over right there. You got to expect the Jaguars to have a little bounce back after just getting demolished by the Niners. These are two teams for me. I don't know if I got a good feel on either of them, to be honest. I think the Titans are going to keep it close, just because it just seems like one of those divisional games for the Titans. They're just going to grind it out with the Jaguars, both defenses. I feel like I've been playing pretty well. I've actually got a crazy one for you guys. Not sure if you'll believe it, but the Jaguars have not scored a single point at home in the first quarter this year. So I'm going to take the Titans plus a half in the first quarter. I'm not so sure the Titans are going to win that first quarter, but I think they could at least tie.
Okay.
So that's all I've got on this game. But AFC South has not been my forte, to be honest, so... I'll leave it to you guys.
So, like, I'm going to take the Titans here. I'm not going to bet this game, but I just want to point out that I just don't think Trevor Lawrence is that good a quarterback.
Yep.
This year they gave him Calvin Ridley. He hasn't gotten going at all. You know, they have options on that offense, and this year they've primarily won on the back of ETN and their defense. You know, the Titans' defense is really good against the run, not good against the pass. I got to see it from Trevor Lawrence before I can say that they're going to take advantage of a bad secondary. You know, C.J. Stroud had back-to-back, I think, over 335-yard passing games. In Trevor Lawrence's 35-game career, he's only exceeded 335 passing yards once. That's incredible. Wow. To me. It just shows you that they need to lean on the run to win this game, and I think the Titans defense, that's the plan into their hands. So I'm going to take the Titans here, but you know, I could see a scenario where the Jags, just their defense maybe has a couple turnovers, you know, pick six or something, and they end up covering. But I got to see it from Trevor Lawrence before I really buy into this Jags team.
You know, you can't take Marvin Jones out of that offense and expect Trevor Lawrence to continue to succeed. I mean,
it's a front office. You can't take Zay Jones out of jail because he'll just keep on going back in.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think we've kind of all got the same feel. It does not feel like a spread I want to touch. I do just got a weird feeling on some sort of shootout happening in that game. That was something weird. So
it's probably going to be exactly Jags win by 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see this being a push.
Yeah.
On both the over-under and the spread.
But big game of the division, though. This is kind of a feels like win or go home game for the Titans for sure. All right, next up, guys, we've got the Chargers taking on the Packers. This game is in Lambeau Field, where the Packers are 3-point home underdogs. Over-under in this one is at 44. Robbie, I have to toss this to you.
Yeah, you know, the Chargers have been they've been heating up lately, and Packers, they've still been kind of on the downfall. I don't think Jordan Love has it. You know, Packers side of the ball, Jair Alexander, I think there's a possibility he plays. I know there's question marks on the Chargers side of the ball for Keenan Allen, but I still love the Chargers in this one, -3. I don't think the Packers are going to have enough to get it done here. But one of my favorite play in this game for sure is going to be Chargers -0.5 first quarter. That one's actually +120 as well. I'm not sure how, because the Packers have just been so bad coming into games. They've kind of been limping, and they've been even worse defensively at home to start off games. And Chargers lately, they've just been so hot coming off the ball or out of the gate. Whatever phrase that I'm trying to say, but as much as I like the Ravens first quarter earlier, especially with this +120, I love this Chargers -0.5. I wouldn't be surprised if the first quarter the Chargers are up 10-0 here. So I'm locking in Chargers -0.5 in the first quarter.
But it's a lock. No.
Do we have a Keenan Allen update? Because he went to the tent like seven times.
He's going to play.
Okay.
He might do that again, but he'll play at 40% of the snaps at least.
Yeah. If Keenan Allen is playing in this game, this is all systems go for the Chargers for me. Granted, the Lions, I know that was a 3-point game last week, but the Lions, like, statistically kicked their ass.
Yeah.
And they did whatever they wanted to do to him on the field. But that said, the Lions are a top 5 football team in the NFL, probably. That's a good team. I can't hold that against them. And they kept it close against a very good team. So, on the other end of the ball, the Packers have really struggled since opening up to, what, a 2-1 start. It has been a slog for them. And I don't know that this is the time that they're going to get it right. I think the Chargers offense is going to put some pressure on them to score points early, and I think that's a recipe for disaster. The second you're going to start to put pressure on Jordan Love to try to keep up with Herbert, I think it's going to force mistakes. I think this one could get ugly. I think big talent disparity here. I love the Chargers this week. I think that's a great number to get them at -3.
So I'm going to take the Packers, but I will caveat saying that I'm all over Robbie's Chargers first quarter bet, because I've watched the Packers play way too much this year. And what I'm noticing is when you try to run scripted plays with Jordan Love, it just goes horribly wrong. When you let him kind of do his own thing, get out of the pocket, make reads, play action plays, unscripted, that's when he's at his best. They've just been horrible with the first 15 scripted plays this year, and that just plays right into Robbie's lock of the week. So as somebody that's actually on the Packers this week, I'm all over that first quarter bet, because you know this Packers offense is just at its worst when they're running scripted plays. I've seen glimpses from Jordan Love this year, and even in the Steelers game where he's making crazy good throws downfield, and I don't buy this Chargers defense at all. I think this is the defense you can take advantage of, the secondary you can take advantage of, and I just I can't buy this Chargers team. They're a bad coach team. They make mistakes at the worst time, and probably going to win this one, but I don't think they're going to win by more than a field goal, so give me the pack.
Well, speaking of taking advantage of, my dog is going nuts on you right now.
I think my favorite play of this game, other than the first quarter, is the over. 44 is way too low for both defenses. I think the Packers' offense, passing offense, gets going, and Herbert's definitely going to get going against this Packers defense.
Well, I'm all in on the quarter corner.
Yep.
So if there's a chance that we can parlay that for our,
oh, we can.
Oh, then I think we should revisit
yep.
that.
Yep.
All in. Later in the show.
I will say one thing that we haven't really mentioned is the run game for the Chargers. Austin Eckler has been, since he came back, he's been looking really good, and Packers don't really have a answer for the run game. So, I'd throw that one in, but I guess on the point of if Keenan Allen doesn't play for some reason, I think the Chargers are going to be okay.
Okay, next game up, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading out west to take on the 49ers in San Francisco. 49ers are 12-point favorites at home, with the over-under set at 41 in this one. Guys, I like the 49ers here. I know it's a big number, but they got healthy off the bye. They absolutely dominated, I think, a better team in the Jaguars on the road last week. I think this is a very tough spot for the Bucs to come in. I know they've covered like three or four straight. I don't think this is the day they do it, though. I think this is a time when the 49ers defense really eats Baker alive. The one thing I've noticed with Baker is when he gets pressure in his face, the eye level drops, very quickly, and he, is basically not looking to throw downfield at all anymore, and he's stuck into the pass rush, and if he can't escape the pocket, then, he's basically giving up a sack. I think this is a game where the Niners could get 4+ sacks out there. So I think you'd get plus money on the Niners defense to do that. I think that's probably a good bet. I think the Niners get up on them early, and I think the Bucks have to throw a lot in this game. So that's probably a prop that I'm going to for sure be playing this week, is whatever I can get. Adam, I know you're on the ladders. I might do a sack ladder with the Niners defense. We talk about it. I know the Buccaneers looked good last week against the Titans. A couple weeks ago against the Bills, kind of some fool's gold there with how close that game was. The Bucs really didn't look that good in that game. And we've seen the Bills' struggles this year. I just think this is a team going up against just an absolute juggernaut in this 49ers team. I know they had a couple bad weeks there when they were a little bit hampered, but I think off the bye, they really had a chance to get healthy. So, love the 49ers here this week. I think they should be able to take care of the 12 points.
Yeah, I don't have a good play in this game. I'm going to take the Bucs. Just, I think the strength of their team is their run defense. You saw it last week. They held Derrick Henry to absolutely nothing on the ground. So they're going to have to, they're going to make Brock Purdy have to beat him, and you saw it last week. He had an extremely good game. Key for this 49ers team apparently is Deebo Samuel, because the three games he was out were the three games they lost outright, and offense looked bad. Purdy looked bad. Him back in the lineup, the everything seems to be full go ahead. But still, I think this Bucs offense is going to be just good enough to keep this line within the 12 points. But I don't feel great either way.
Yeah, I'm going to side with the Bucs. I mean, they're also getting healthier too. I mean, Vita Vea he came back the other week, so he's back to being that run-stopping force. Carlton Davis looks like might finally be healthy enough to play. Devin White, we'll see if he's healthy. I guess the best one, I don't really have a play for this game. This is one just to see how 49ers are to me, because, you know, that addition of Chase Young, it just seemed like added a whole different aspect to that defense and that pass rush. So assuming that, that Evan's right here in that over 4.5 sacks because of the addition of Chase Young, that's definitely going to be something I'm going to take note of moving forward. And so, you know, to me, this seems like a toss-up here. I could see the Bucks keeping it close, but if, you know, these Niners get enough pressure on them, you know, I could see the Niners just smoking them out. So I'm off this game. I'll lean Buccaneers just because their defense is getting healthier at the moment.
All right. Next game up, guys, we've got the Jets taking on the Bills. This game is in Buffalo where the Bills are 7-point favorites. Over-under is 40. Robbie, what's your play here?
You know what? I've got a couple in this one. I did like the Jets in this one. You know, Bills have just been struggling so hard. You know, it's a divisional game. I think defensive Jets are going to be coming out. I think I remember seeing, I'm looking it up again, just on the weather, it seemed like this one was going to be, oh yeah, this has got a chance of snow, 15 mile per hour winds. This one just seems like a run, grind them out kind of game. And if it ends up being more of a run game, I think that favors more in the Jets' hands right here. Their front seven has been really good. And their backfield of Breece Hall, I think, is much better than what the Bills have been doing with in their backfield with Cook and Murray. So
they got a case of the fumbles right now too.
They do have a case of the fumbles. I think the weather is going to play into the Jets' hands, so I think they're going to keep it within seven. So I think this is, so I like that play right there. And kind of along with that, I don't think either team is going to really be able to get much going offensively. So I like the under in this game. I know, didn't Bills just fire their OC?
Yep.
Yeah, so we're going to have to see how that affects the Bills in this game. But I don't see a lot of points on the board in this one. And so kind of with that aspect, I love the Jets to just keep it within a touchdown.
Yeah, like you said, offensive coordinator getting fired. I saw an interview with Josh Allen where he took a lot of the heat and he just, you know, was like, man, yeah, this one hurts because they'd spent a lot of time together and they'd been so good. Well, you know, if you didn't get completely lazy with your footwork and just completely revert to, like, Wyoming habits as a quarterback, he probably wouldn't have gotten fired. Like, this is all on Josh Allen. I'm like, the regression in the fundamentals I've seen over the last two seasons with him is outrageous. He reverted back to just relying completely on his arm. If you watch him 2 years ago, his footwork positioning, he learned so much from his rookie year. He had made so many great strides, and he's just gone backwards on this. He's almost looking like Cutler back there, where it's all just arm-based, and it doesn't have to be. He's so much better when he sets his feet and he gets into throws. So, yeah, sorry, I had to go on a little bit of a rant.
That's
you just
perfect.
Said epitomized this first matchup between these two teams. Week one. I mean, that Josh Allen lost in that game because he was not fundamentally sound, making stupid decisions based on just him slinging the ball downfield, thinking he can go hero ball.
Same thing last week.
I mean, think in part of that, he's just, I feel like he's just gotten a little cocky out there, you know. He's just thinking he could just, yep. So
yeah, I'm a Josh Allen fan when he's good. I like Josh Allen, but yeah, it's been frustrating to see him regress. That said, I'm on the Jets. I'm with you guys. 7 points too much here. This is a huge game in the division. Both these teams need it. The struggles for the Bills are very apparent, but the second, you know, this game turns from, you know, kind of a back and forth offensive battle to kind of a slow run it out game, you know, that's going to position the Jets for some success. And I think they can keep this game close. I definitely think seven is too many. You know, for me, I didn't think the Bills really ran the ball that well last week, up until, you know, the fourth quarter, they finally started to get it going. But, you know, it was a real struggle for them for three quarters. And I just question their commitment to stick to the run game. You know, you ditch an offensive coordinator and you start new, and I just feel like the guy who's really going to be calling the shots in that room is going to be Josh Allen. And I can't see Josh Allen being like, let's hand the ball off 27 times a game and win this game. I think Josh Allen's going to try to keep doing the hero ball shit in this game. And I don't see it getting any better. Give me the Jets here plus 7. I'm with you. I think it's a slog, run it out game on the Jets side of the ball. And I think the Bills offense is going to keep making some mistakes against a tough Jets defense. So give me Jets plus 7.
Yeah, I'm on the Jets plus 7 too. These are two broken offenses. The Jets side, they're throwing the ball twice as much as they're passing the ball. that doesn't make any sense. Throwing the ball twice as much as they're running the ball. And given their team makeup, that should be as close to even as humanly possible, especially with Bryce Hall being your best player overall. I don't trust that either coaching staff can coach up a good enough offensive game plan against each other to have this over hit. So I like the Jets plus 7, but my better play is the under 40. Love that.
All right, next up, guys, we've got the Seahawks taking on the Rams in LA. Rams are 1-point underdogs at home here. Over under in this one is set at 46. Adam, you've got a strong take on this one. Let's have you start it off.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks here, money line on the road. I think their matchup week one was really fluky. I'm not trusting that Matthew Stafford's 100% healthy, and I kind of like what I'm seeing out of this Seahawks secondary. I know it wasn't pretty last week against the team, but one of those plays was a broken Brian Robinson 60-yard touchdown where, you know, that everyone was locked up downfield. I don't think the Rams are going to get a lot of production out of the running back core this week in the running game in general, which was really what won them the first matchup. And I think that this Seahawks secondary can lock down Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua enough for them to, you know, really limit the Rams offensively. So I love the Seahawks money line this week, and I also love the under 46. I actually probably like the under 46 even more than the money line, but both of those are confidence plays for me.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot on this game besides my last quarter play. So Seahawks, their offense is coming out a lot stronger than the Rams have. It seems like they're coming a little slow out the gate. I like the Seahawks money line here, minus 115, first quarter at least. I think they're going to come out with a little stronger start. I can see this game going either way, but I'm definitely going to be leaning the Seahawks, though. I just think that they're just better team both sides of the ball. The Rams have been honestly impressive to me. They've been a lot better than I thought they would be at this point of the season, but I still like the Seahawks to get that seventh win of the season. I just think they're just a little bit better of a team, and they've been showing it down the stretch too to be able to close out games.
Man, I was all prepared to yell, whose house?
not the Chargers' house.
You know what? I think I talked myself into the Rams before I even saw a line on this game. Just like, oh, you got a full week off. Stafford will get healthy. But I think this game is actually priced appropriately. It's Seahawks minus 1. I think I'm kind of with you guys. I think that's just good value to get them on. The Seahawks defense, you know, Geno, it has looked ugly this year. I've watched a lot of the Seahawks this season, and it's been a slog for Geno. He has not looked as good as he did at the first half of last season. Definitely much closer to second half of last season, Geno. But this Seahawks defense has really stepped up in a big way, and it's become the new identity of this team. Last year, the identity of the team was, you know, Geno slinging it to Lockett and Metcalf, and then, you know, Kenneth Walker coming in and the run game. Now it's this new rebuilt secondary led by Witherspoon, you know, Oski Wawa. This Seahawks defense is impressive. I don't think, Adam, I think you called it. I think they're able to shut down Nacua and Cooper Kupp in this one. You know, who knows just how healthy Stafford is. This is priced appropriately. I don't think the Rams defense is nearly as good as the Seahawks. Seahawks should be able to win this game. And we certainly know that home field means nothing in L.A. So should be lots of Seahawks fans there. Give me the Seahawks. All right, Sunday Night Football. We've got the Broncos, the suddenly alive Broncos, hosting the resurgent Minnesota Vikings. How is this game intriguing?
I have no idea.
After Week 4, if you told us that these two teams would be like vying for playoff implications in this game, I would have told you you're on crack.
I'm somehow in. I'm somehow in, and I'm somehow going to watch this.
I think both these teams are 0-4, right?
I believe so. No,
didn't the Broncos beat the Bears to go 1-3?
That's right.
They were definitely both 0-3.
They were definitely both 0-3. But beating the Bears is nothing to celebrate.
One thing both these teams have in common.
That's very true. So Broncos are 2.5-point favorites at home here, over under 43.5. Broncos team somehow 4-5. This Vikings team somehow 5-4. What is happening? I don't know. All I do know is I've somehow kind of been on this Vikings wagon like the last 3 weeks, and it's paying. So give me the Vikings getting points again. You know, the Broncos, one thing I will say is when they win ugly. And it's never this beautiful showcase. So if they're going to win, I'm betting it's a close game. And I don't know. I think the Vikings will keep this one pretty close. I think the roster favors the Vikings a bit on paper too, but it's a toss-up game to me. I definitely think this should be closer to a pick'em than the Vikings getting 2.5 points. So I'll take the Vikings getting the points here, but interested to hear what you guys have to say about it.
I mean, I'm with you in the fact that I've been riding this Vikings team for the last couple of weeks too. I mean, Josh Jobs looks like he's just hasn't missed a beat coming in after that trade. It's been crazy impressive how good he's been. He's able to do it through the air. He's able to do it on the ground. Is Alexander Mattison looking to come back?
It's not looking good.
Not looking good, right?
No one's came back the week after a concussion this year, so he's going to be out. Can confidently say that.
Yeah. So I don't know. This Broncos team has just been real sneaky lately, though. That I think this is a good line. I kind of want to lean the Broncos here. Maybe it's more that I want the Broncos to win over the Vikings, NFC North side, but I don't know. I don't have a great feel. Both these teams are on the up, so I think we just got ourselves a good Sunday night game. Javonte Williams, he's been coming into his own lately. They're feeding the rock. I think the Vikings are going to have tough times stopping that, and you know, the outside threats for Russell have been good too. I mean, obviously Vikings have been looking very good too with Hockenson. You know, he's been phenomenal this year. Addison's really grown into his role. It doesn't seem like Justin Jefferson's coming back this week, which would have been a huge boost for the Vikings, but he'll be back soon. So you know, I'm just talking through this, but I'm still gonna lean the Broncos -2.5. I don't like it, so I'm not playing this game.
Yeah, I have the same feeling. I have no strong take either way. I'm just gonna go with the Broncos at home. You know, this crowd's been itching for an interesting game, and they finally got one here. I just, you know, we had jokes with Sean Payton to begin the year, and they were well deserved. But I think everyone knew that he would eventually get the ship righted. just given his experience. And I've been most impressed with their defensive resurgence. You know, the last three games, their defense has essentially won them the games. And I just think that the Vikings offense has pulled too many rabbits out of their hats in the last couple of weeks, down the pieces that they are, with a quarterback that just, you know, showing up off the street. I can't take them again, or I don't think they can pull it one more out of their head again against this Broncos team at home or on the road. So I'm going to take the Broncos. Kind of like the under 43.5. I just, you know, it's a high line for two offenses that, you know, are, you know, one offense is pretty limited from a skill set perspective, and the other offense just hasn't been good all year. But yeah, I don't really have a take on this game.
Come on, man, you can't fade the Pastronaut.
Does seem like KJ Osborne will be back from his concussion. Yeah, so I think that's, I mean, that's gonna help that's him. I mean, he's been solid as a number two.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Finally, we've got Monday Night Football. This is a game of the week potentially here as well. Eagles heading into Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Chiefs are 3-point favorites at home here, over under 45.5. I'm going right to Adam here. Kick us off.
Yeah, if I've had anything right this year, it's been my locks of the week. I'm 8-2 this year on the locks. Self-tout there. But I'm locking up the Chiefs -3 this week.
But it's a lock!
No!
This is a great spot for the Chiefs. Andy Reid off the bye is like an auto play. Historically, he's the best at it. But just this matchup alone, I think it plays directly into the Chiefs' hands. Best unit on the field, I'm going to say, is the Chiefs' defense. They've been outstanding this year. I think this, you know, the most vulnerable part of the Eagles' team is their secondary. This year, you've seen some mediocre offenses really light them up in the pass game. And, Mahomes, I know he doesn't have the wide receivers this year that he's had previously. But, you know, that secondary isn't good enough to stop this passing offense. So I don't really see this being a close game, to be honest. I think the Chiefs win by, 6 or more. So if you want to take an alt line, go ahead. I just don't think the Eagles are ready for this matchup right now.
I like the Eagles here. I think, you know, if this was, you know, 1.5, 2, you know, I consider taking the Chiefs, but I think getting that third point here opens up a lot of possibilities. I agree with everything you said. That Eagles defense is overrated. I think a lot of people have memories of what they were last year, and that's not what they are. They lost pieces on the secondary in the offseason, and it's showing. They've been shredded numerous times this year. So the thing with that, though, that's not exactly how the Chiefs have been winning. It's kind of been a lot of Isaiah Pacheco and controlling the clock, West Coast sort of short dink and dunk down the field, not a lot of explosive plays, which is, the Eagles have given up a lot of explosives this year. That said, you know, what really impresses me about the Eagles and keeps me, subscribing to the fact that I think they're one of the, you know, elite teams in this league is their offensive line play. They can do whatever they want on their side of the ball. And I think, the chief defensive strength is in its secondary. Where I think they might struggle in this game is to stop the run. I'm curious to see how this plays out. My intuition tells me that the Eagles might be able to control the line of scrimmage on the offensive side and get some long sustained drives here. I think it's a lower scoring, tightly contested game. I just want the team getting the points. I think the Eagles are good enough to keep it to 3. certainly have a lot of respect, though, for the way the Chiefs are playing and the way that they're winning games with that defense. I don't want to take away from that at all. I think the 3 points is just slightly too much.
Kind of going off your point, I'm keeping an eye on this weather right now, because right now it's forecasted rain, 15-plus mile-per-hour winds. Yeah. Not great for the passing game, which is why I'm siding with the Eagles, which I don't want to do because you've been so good with your lines. you've been just so good. But I just really think that if it comes to being really windy, that's going to play into the Eagles because they have still a phenomenal run defense. And it's going to be tough to get Pacheco going. DeAndre Swift has just been phenomenal. It seems like whenever a good Lions skill position player leaves Detroit, you know, they become good all of a sudden. But not taken away from like Amon Ra or anybody there. But I just think that would play into the Eagles a lot more. Again, just like you were saying, I think the Chiefs' strengths are the secondary. So if it's going to be more ground and pound them game, I'm going to side with the Eagles. So.
Yeah, the Eagles haven't been able to run the ball since, like, week two, though.
Yeah, and you're right. That's the thing. That is when they've been at their best.
Yeah,
though, when
I agree.
When they've given Swift the ball.
They haven't done it. Yeah, they just
I don't think it's that they've failed to do it. I think that they've gotten away from it. I think A.J. Brown has been yapping and is like, I need the ball more, and they've changed their offensive system, and they've had success. But I think if they stick to the ground game, and I think that's their key to success in this game, especially if the weather is as Robbie's saying, I think that's where their strength will show out, and I think that's how they'll be able to best compete in this game. If they try to run, you know, verts up and down the field with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith all game, I think they will lose because that's just playing into the Chiefs' strength.
So we're not going to agree on the game, but I sounds like we're all in on the under.
Oh, yeah. Under is definitely a play for mine. I don't think I mentioned that, but I love 45 that under.
And a half. I
think
like
the defenses are going to show in this game.
I do like the under.
45 and a half is too high to me.
Do respect the under.
Gotta respect it.
Could be talking about that in a little second.
We could.
I think we got a lot we could talk about.
Yeah, there are some.
There are a lot.
I think we have two automatic plays.
I definitely know of one. So, quick recap of the locks. Adam, fresh off that Chiefs -3. Robbie, the quarter corner, Larson. Chargers, first quarter, -0.5 against the Packers. And then I'm taking Dolphins -12. I'd take that all the way up to 13.5. All right, let's talk about the podcast parlay here.
I think we have to go... The quarter.
I need a quarter corner in there. I need the quarter corner.
Plus 120.
Yeah.
Chargers money line.
I need the quarter corner.
That's in.
That's, yeah.
I think we've got to go the under in that Chiefs-Eagles game.
Oh, I'm loving that. Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
We just got to find a third.
I love the Cardinals. I really like the Cardinals this week.
I do too. I'd maybe rather had the Dolphins, but we're also in on the Dolphins.
That was my thing.
We're also in on the Dolphins for the.
I feel like, we are in on the Dolphins already. Under 40 for working. This is Bills Jets. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could do either the Cardinals or the Dolphins. Really, I'm good with either of those.
You make the call, Robbie, because you're the one that's not confident on either.
You said heavy wins in Buffalo for that Bills Jets game.
Wind and possibly snow game.
I could get behind the under 40 there too.
I could too. I could too. I like that one a lot.
Damn it!
It's
I'm torn, but
the line moved to under 40, so 39.5.
That's trending. less intriguing, but still kind of intriguing. I mean,
Okay. So if it makes a difference, and it does, it significantly does. That Dolphins line is a lot higher than.
Is it 13.5 or under? It's 13.5.
I wouldn't.
I feel less. I mean, yeah, I definitely don't feel as good about it. Yeah. But I'd keep that in my lock.
Okay. Well, Well, do you want to do Cardinals then, or are they dead under?
I really think the Cardinals keep that game close.
Let's do the Cardinals. I like it.
All right.
That's like one of the best spots.
Yeah, that does seem like people high on the...
And although that team might not seem like they're trying to win, I think with the move that they made to bring Kyler back and the way they finished that game, I think they're going to...
They've played like they have pride all year. First-year head coach, you know. We saw this with the Bears last year. The Bears were constantly playing hard for Eberflus in that first year. I think we're seeing the same thing out west. I think the Cardinals will keep that game close at the very least. I don't think they get the doors blown off them. Fast track, too. I think we'll see some points there. Cardinals will be able to score.
Love it. All right, we're locked in.
So Cardinals plus 5. The quarter corner Chargers, first quarter minus a half, plus money. And then Chiefs, Eagles, Monday night under 45.5. Not locked in.
Yeah,
feels like we're walking
back on track
here.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
It's the best I felt about the podcast parlay.
Yep.
In months.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've been teasing this for weeks, though. The
tough
eliminator.
Question.
Yeah, we're rocking the Eagles this. Or I'm,
oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. We already rocked the Eagles.
Oops,
there's not a
possibility here. Rocking the Dolphins here at home against the Raiders. Right now they're 13.5-point favorites. We know the Raiders, you know, have won a couple games, but Dolphins off the bye should be at least able to win that game outright. That'd be a shocker if they lost.
It would Antonio Pierce their hearts.
Oh god. What a bad way to go. Only Steve Irwin knows.
Oh my god.
Oh, no. That was sad.
Well, I mean, we are on a lot of undies.
We got to get out of here. Cue the music, Robbie. Get us out of here. All right. Thanks, everybody. Glad to be back and join you this week. Thanks for sticking with us through the hiatus. We try to keep a regular schedule here going forward. But until next week, good luck to everybody, and we'll talk to you later.